Welcome to Fearfully and Wonderfully Me, a podcast designed to help you become the leader you are destined to be. I'm so excited for today's episode because I have the privilege of bringing on a special guest, my friend, Darla Harms. Darla is a leadership speaker, coach, trainer, and an author, and her new book is going to be coming out in May of this year. And when I heard the title, I knew this would be a great topic to talk about, a great topic I think is relevant for so many of us. Darla's new book is called No Fat Girls Allowed, Overcoming Shame and Living in Authenticity. And I love that. Darla, welcome to the show.
Thank you. I'm glad to be here.
I'm glad to have you. I know your time is incredibly valuable, but you and I had a conversation, it's been a couple weeks ago, Mac and I were down in Albany, Georgia, and you did an awesome job of facilitating and an event that we were at and speaking at, and you and I had a conversation, I think it was one of the breaks or something like that, and you were telling me about your book, and I just get fired up about topics of living in authenticity and overcoming shame, because I think all of us struggle with it. I know I do. So tell us about your book.
Well, it was great seeing you and Mac at that event, and I had a great time facilitating that, and it was just a good time all around. And my book is really, I'm a leadership coach, speaker, and trainer, first and foremost. I've been doing this for about, a little over 6 years, and I have actually started several books. But this book came out of a deep place for me. About a year and a half ago, I was asked to speak to a women in banking conference for women bankers all over the state of Georgia. And I love speaking in front of people. It's my heartbeat to speak to people, especially women. But I was really scared about this event and noticed I was starting to have panic attacks and just be really overwhelmed at the thought of it, because like people in our industry, there's a point where you got to start building more outside of your community, your network, and putting yourself out there and making videos, and the thought just overwhelmed me that the bigger my business got, the more people would see me. And what I mean by that is not that I want people to hear me. Like I've been studying leadership for over 20 years, and I think I've got some things to say about the subject. But the thought of people seeing me physically was crippling. And that comes from, well, I'll back up a little bit. So I was having panic attacks, and I thought, you know, I'm going to say no, because there is no way I'm opening myself up to being criticized about my appearance. Mm-hmm. And so I was sharing this with a friend. She's like, man, you need some counseling. This is something deeper. Like, what's the matter with you? You look great. Why are you so afraid of being in front of people? And it's not that I'm afraid of being in front of people in general. I'm a motivational speaker, a public speaker, and I've spoken in front of thousands of people over the last 6 years. But the thought of being recorded and going much bigger and having a huge audience was more than I could handle at the time. So I went to counseling, and by the way, huge proponent of counseling.
Mm. And very.
You know, I just think mental health and our society is just, we're at a kind of a point where we could really shift this subject, especially with women like you out there, Rhea, that we need, when things are falling apart, it's really okay to ask for help. And I'm not really that person. I'm not a super feely gal. And I'm just kind of a tell it like it is, pull yourself up by the bootstraps and make your life happen person. Mm-hmm. But that strategy wasn't really working for me. And so I went to counseling, and this gal ended up being a great experience. We just uncovered a lot of body shame. And I've had a lot of body shame issues since I was probably 7-ish. And it had to do a lot with being, I don't know at what point we as women learned that our appearance is more important than our heart. But it seemed like I learned that at a really young age.
Mm-hmm. You are so right. I think a lot of us carry around a sense that a physical perception or our body, our physical body, determines our value. And it's not the way it should be. We're not born with that, but we learn that through, things that happen or people around us that influence us. And so we create an identity around, I'm not good enough because I'm not pretty enough or thin enough or fast enough or enough. So I think you hit it on a hugely relevant topic.
Well, yeah. I mean, I see that, and I see that a lot with my clients. You know, I see these women who, you know what this is like, Rhea. You meet incredible people with incredible potential who are amazing and talented, and yet there's something that's like when they don't feel like they're enough or they don't have worth or value, then they slow up. They don't keep moving because that value or that worth isn't pushing them through. Instead, it's defining them and holding them back.
Mm-hmm.
And that's really where I was. And I was kind of surprised by it because I'm a pretty confident girl, you know. I just was a little surprised that I'm still dealing with stuff from my childhood. And I'm 47 years old now. So I just... I'm like, when am I ever going to be done with this stuff? And because I just don't like to take the time to mess with it, but I really needed to. And so through the counseling, it's when I began to uncover just this, how shame around my appearance has really been a roller coaster ride for me. And, I don't know if you've ever been on a roller coaster, but I don't like them, first and foremost. I went on one once with a girlfriend in college, and it's just up and down and all around and back and forth, and you're being jerked around, and then sometimes it's fun and sometimes it's not. And then you get off, and I tell this story in my book how I was about to strangle my girlfriend because she's like, oh, this will be fun. I'm like, I know it's not. And I leaned over the garbage can and vomited because I was so sick from being on the ride. And that's how shame has been for me. It's been a roller coaster. And I struggled. I dabbled with an eating disorder with bulimia in college a little bit. I wouldn't say I was like full-blown bulimic, bad eating disorder, but I was dabbling on the line. And so because I love to interject humor in everything that I do. And so shame has been a roller coaster ride with a little puking on the side, and it's just been this crazy journey, but I feel like I'm off the roller coaster now. And I wanted to share with women how I got off.
Yes. That's absolutely powerful because that's what it's about, is being able to reach back and help somebody else cross the bridge that we learned to cross. Darla, talk about, because what I love is that you are just incredible, vulnerable in being able to share your story. And how is it you found the courage to step into this and to talk about it so openly?
Well, I am all for vulnerability, and I think in vulnerability, Brené Brown, the shame expert, I guess, if you've ever read any of her materials, only, basically I'm going to paraphrase her, but only by bringing things to the light can we get better.
So true.
I'm from a really small town out in western Nebraska and grew up in the 70s and 80s where we didn't really talk about problems. You didn't really share with people what was going on. And I was raised in a good home. I had great parents and they loved me unconditionally and they were supportive and believed the best about me, but there were things happening behind closed doors and at school and with friends that they didn't know about. And I didn't know to talk about it. And I tell a story in my book about a guy in my class who bullied me. I guess now, back then, it's weird to say that word because we didn't say that back in the 80s. He just wasn't a very nice kid. And so he frequently called me fat. And I remember this one, I played basketball for my high school basketball team, and I was at a ball game, and it's coming down the court, and I could hear him from the bleachers yell, "Hey, look at the fat girl coming down the court in front of all these people in this gymnasium." And I still remember where I was on that court when he said it. And I tried to get through some of the game, but eventually I asked the coach to take me out. And he's like, "What's wrong?" I'm like, "Yeah, I just don't feel great." And, you know, I didn't really tell him what happened because we didn't talk about those things, right? I just thought, you know, I didn't even realize what was happening to me other than I was just super embarrassed. And go to sit on the bench. Well, him and his buddies are sitting right behind me and they're making fun of my appearance. And, you know, it's not even that I was overweight then. I was just, or it didn't really matter if I was or wasn't. It was just so, it was kind of like I already knew it from the age of 7 that I wasn't perfect, that I wasn't as pretty as some of the other girls, that I wasn't as thin, that I didn't, you know, measure up. And but he really pounded that into me for about 4 years of high school, and did some other things I don't want to get into, but they, you know, just some really destructive behaviors. Now that if I had reported him, he probably should have, you know, been kicked out of school. But anyway, doesn't matter. Then got into college and couldn't figure, I lost a ton of weight. Started running and lifting weights, but I wasn't eating like I should, started experimenting with throwing up. And then I did go to counseling for a little bit, and it did uncover some other things, like I was exposed to child pornography, or not child pornography, but pornography as a child, in other people's homes, not mine necessarily, but friends who had pornography in their homes, and just how that messed with my head. And then I did uncover some sexual abuse in a different capacity. So it's just kind of like layers and layers of stuff. Keep coming up on this roller coaster ride around my body image. And so I didn't realize how bad it was, I guess, until I thought about getting in front of more people. And so I just know that the best way for me to grow and get better is to share my journey with others. And so I wrote, it's not a long book, it's a rather short little piece, but it's my story. And I just wanted, when I shared, I did go to this event, and I was their keynote speaker, and it went great. I mean, I had women, when I shared my story about overcoming shame with a group of banking women. I mean, these women are rock stars, right? They're professionally dressed, and it's a little intimidating because they all look amazing, and, like, they're really good with money, and I'm just not good with math at all. And so I was just like, but it ended up being incredible. I got several emails afterwards, like, "Thank you for sharing your story. It inspired me," and women hugging me and crying afterwards, like, "Oh my goodness, thank you. We didn't expect that at this event. And I never expected to be so moved." And it really just was like, you know what? If this group of women were touched by my story, I think other women would be too.
Absolutely. Absolutely. You know, you said something that's interesting, because as you talk about it, you know, it's almost like the shame, that when we're carrying shame, it creates fear, right?
Absolutely.
fear of being in front of people and being judged. I think that's the foundation of that shame and the fear, is that we feel judged by other people. And at some point, we've let other people's opinions become our reality. And
absolutely,
what you're touching on is encouraging people to say, you know what, other people's opinions of you don't have to become your reality. They don't,
nope,
they don't define you.
No. And, you know, until you do the work, like, until you sit down and actually write, hey, somebody said this about me, now what's
mm-hmm.
true? Because I firmly believe that for me to be, to grow as a leader, because leadership is influence, and I know you believe that as well.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
I need to be influenced by what's true about me, not yeah. just what's wrong with me. Like, I need influence to impact. Like, influence means truth to me. And if I need to be influenced by the truth, not the lie. I mean, influence can go both ways. I can be influenced by a lie, or I can be influenced by what's right, or I can be influenced by what's wrong. But what I think I didn't know is we store all of these things in our mind, you know, we call it the subconscious mind, and it just sits there. And
mm-hmm.
if we don't deal with it, see, we've been influenced by what's wrong, and then we store it. Like, I call it the
mm-hmm.
warehouse of the mind. And it's just sitting there. And then, like, when the speaking engagement, like, for that, for me, it was that one that popped up, what was influencing me popped into reality.
Mm-hmm.
And so I had to go back into the mind and change what was influencing me.
Oh, wow.
But that takes work.
It does. And it's hard work. I talk about the hard work of healing, and it does take work, and it's really examining our beliefs about ourselves, and that's not easy. It's not comfortable. It's scary.
Well, and if you, like, I've got other people, like a family member who has criticized my appearance for years, and this person is a person of faith who is supposed to be, you know, very well versed in what it means to be, to speak life over people.
Mm-hmm.
And when they're telling you that your husband likes his women thin, or that you look masculine, or why haven't you lost your baby weight yet, or you don't always have to wear that, or, you know, you're just kind of like, well, if they're these incredibly important people, maybe I should be listening to them.
And it's painful to have anybody say hurtful things like that, but especially when it's someone who you've got a relationship with, who you,
mm-hmm.
you think you can trust that person.
Absolutely. And so now I just think I go in a little bit more into relationships with eyes wide open.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm looking for the truth about me and the truth about people.
I like
and
what
I think
you said
when
about
you look for the truth, you can find it.
Yes, yes. And you know, back to what you said about the warehouse of the mind, is that in order to really bring these truths about ourselves to life and refute the lie kind of that we have or carry around, is we do have to bring that to light. And that's where the living with authenticity comes in, is being able to say it and acknowledge it and say, hey, I may not be perfect, but I'm me. And how has that changed what you do? Because I know you do a lot of leadership development and coaching. Has that affected or influenced your, I don't know if presence is the right word, but how has that affected
mm-hmm.
your presence on stage or as a coach? Talk about that.
No, I was just thinking about that, Rhea, because I know you believe this, that whatever we give off, we attract.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And I think when we give off shame, we attract shame.
Mm.
And when we give off vulnerability, we attract vulnerability.
Mm-hmm.
And I think when, whether we know it or not, there's a quote by a sales guy. His name was Les Giblin. And he said, you can't make someone feel important in your presence if you secretly feel they are a nobody.
Mm. And you had an article on that. Did I read that article by you?
Yeah, maybe on LinkedIn.
Yeah,
something.
Yeah.
I know I've written about that because I think it's that secret place. You know, when you secretly feel they are a nobody, it's that place that's under your soul, kind of. It's the deep part of who you are that decides the worth of yourself and another human being. And if it's icky and gooey and muddled, you're going to give off that vibe, because you and I have both met people that say all the right things. But underneath, I think the Arbinger Institute in Salt Lake City, in their books, they call it your way of being. In your way of being, you give off this persona or energy, or somebody else called it, my pastor calls it an atmosphere that you bring into a room. And I didn't even know what atmosphere I was giving off until I went to counseling. And by being vulnerable myself, I believe now I give off the atmosphere, the way of being, or that secret place is really okay with other people being vulnerable.
Making it more safe.
Yes. And because I quit judging myself, I'm really, really getting better at not judging people.
I think it's interesting you say that, because I'm a firm believer that when we judge ourselves is not enough, we extend that judgment to others. And so a lot of times when we judge others, it's because in some area of our life there is an insecurity or a lack of confidence or a lack of self-worth. And so it's almost like to cover that up, and we're afraid somebody will see that, so we defend against that and other people. And it's interesting because it's really a lack of humility, but it's also a lack of security.
Well, and it's really ego. It's pride.
Yes. It is.
You know, when
there's
there's
no humility there.
No, I'm just protecting kind of the image so that you'll think of me a certain way. Well, that's a lie. And that's pride. That's ego. And nothing beautiful ever happens in that place. I think we think it does, because we've been kind of taught that you just don't share all your junk. Now, listen, I'm not talking about you walking in to work the next day and just, like, spilling the beans with every person you know, because that's just creepy, right? But I am saying, you know, when you find a group of friends or coworkers, maybe there's one or two that you can share your heart with. You know, I think I got three or four friends that know absolutely everything about me. Every sin, every ooey gooey moment, every fight I've ever had with my husband. And they're like, you're still awesome. And I'm like, so are you. Those are my people. You know, those are the women that, and I'm just making sure I'm clear, that women, I'm not sure, for me personally, I would not be that vulnerable with a male, because I am married, and I'm going to save a lot of vulnerability for my husband. I would not share with men, so I'm just going to throw that out there. But you know, I need those women in my life. And, I mean, it goes both ways. When we share our hearts about stuff we're really, truly struggling with, without judgment, it's like there is a freedom and love in that there isn't anything we wouldn't do for each other.
Mm.
And it's really
yeah,
been
it's
a beautiful
like
thing.
It sounds like it. It's like they know the good and the bad and the ugly, and they still love you. And that's an incredibly supportive relationship in your life.
Absolutely. And now I'm open to more of those.
Yes.
Because I think the more of those we have, that's what gives us hope. I don't think there's hope in pride. In keeping this stuff all a secret, or my word for this year is hope. And, you know, I think hope is a powerful, powerful thing. And ego really keeps hope from manifesting itself, because hope isn't even about me. Hope is about, well, I'm a person of faith, a God who loves me and who has a plan for my life and has put me in relationship with some really incredible people. And if I've got that icky secret place filled with judgment and ego and pride, I just don't know how hope can stay alive.
And that would be a tragedy in and of itself.
Absolutely.
Darla, if you could give some advice, or someone who is struggling with some of the same issues you went through and some of the things you're sharing about in your book and on this podcast, what would that advice be? If you could talk to the you of years past.
Well, if I could talk to myself 10 years ago, I would say, get your little honey to counseling, girl. Like, there is no shame in counseling or therapy or a coach. You know, I'm a coach, you're a coach. Go talk to someone and get your stuff out. And if it costs you money, so what? Find the money. Figure it out, because by hoarding it, you're actually hurting yourself. By releasing it, you're freeing yourself. Not only are you free, but now you're giving other people permission to be free. Because when you get rid of this stuff, people see it and they notice. And then they're like, what happened to you? And then you share your story, and they're like, man, that is so great. And maybe not everybody says it's great, because I don't think everybody who, you know, reads my story is going to like it. And that's really okay.
And maybe not everyone can relate in the same way.
Yeah, and everybody can relate. And, you know, if you're the person who's shaming others with their appearance, then maybe, you know, it's not going to be your favorite read. But or maybe you'll be like, you know, I should stop doing that, because I don't want to shame people. Or maybe you don't even know you're doing it. So first, get counseling. Second, you've allowed yourself to be influenced by lies. Why don't you now begin to be influenced by what's true? So the Bible says you will know the truth and the truth will set you free. When you find the truth, there's something free about it. Now, I know that's talking about a relationship with Christ, but I think it applies to multiple contexts. The truth is powerful, and there's freedom in the truth. And for you to walk in freedom, you must be influenced by what's true about you. So go find it.
I love that.
If you're a person of faith, read faith books. If you're not a person of faith, read other positive books. Go find what's true about you. Listen, John Maxwell says you can't lead others until you lead yourself. So this is where leadership met the road for me. Like, I'm a huge leadership guru, just like you and Mac, and you know, I love it. I live it every day and influence people with it. But you can't lead others till you lead yourself. So lead this part of you. That's what I had to figure out. I need to own my journey on working through shame. This is a leadership issue for me. And am I going to be a follower, or am I going to be a leader? And a follower doesn't deal with their stuff. A follower ignores it. A follower just does what they have to get by. But I'm not a follower. I'm a leader. And so is every person who's listening to your podcast or to my podcast or reading our books or hearing us speak. There's something inside of them that's a light. And you see, that light only gets bright because you blow on it and feed it and put fire into it. So lead yourself in this area and go get help. So be influenced by what's true. And then my other thing is, I've really developed some resiliency. When I began to be influenced by what's true about me, there's a book, by the way, it's called Lovable. by Kelly Flanagan that really helped me. And then there's another book by, oh gosh, I can't think of her name now. It's where I got the No Fat Girls Allowed. Glennon Doyle.
Okay.
Love Warrior. And she tells a story about when she was in high or college, she was struggling with drug and alcohol addiction, and she partied a lot, and she was having, you know, just kind of dysfunctional relationships with guys, and she was at this frat party, and she walked in, and she noticed a sign over the door that said, "No fat girls allowed in this frat house." And it just made her stop in her tracks, like, what is really going on
here?
And when I read that, it just hit like that warehouse. It like opened up a ton of boxes for me, because that's how I've felt most of my life, is that there's a sign over every door that says no fat girls allowed. And I've been afraid to walk through them. So now I just changed the sign.
There you go. That's what I like.
So the last point I would make is resiliency and grit. Like now I just really, I know the signs of shame for me. I know what my triggers are. I know if somebody says something about me, it's not even about me. It's more about them. And I just try to, I call it the glass bubble, where it just bounces off my glass bubble now. And I don't have to absorb it. I don't have to listen to it. I can love them in their shaming moment, because I now have the resiliency and grit to do so. Because I know that if it... Go ahead.
No, go ahead, please.
Well, I just think this is... If I'm going to walk in true humility and love, I have to love people who have shamed me. And first, forgive them and let it go. Forgiveness is powerful when you can do it. And then when I see shame, and it'll still, like, every woman listening is going to experience shame in some capacity. But it's identifying it and leaving it where it belongs outside of me. And then loving the person that's dealing with it. Because if they're projecting it on me, I know deep down they're doing the same things to themselves. And that requires a great deal of compassion.
Powerful stuff. Powerful, powerful stuff. I love what you said. You know, it really is leading yourself intentionally. And when we can do that well, that allows us to influence other people at such a high level. And it's not always easy to do. You're absolutely right. But how amazing is it when we can step into that and realize more of our potential to influence people? That's awesome. Well, Darla, tell us how we can get in touch with you, where we can find the book when it comes out. It's coming out in May, right?
Yes. In fact, it might be a little sooner. So it's done editing. Now I just got to get my book cover. And the cover for it's going to be a Kindle book first, and then I do think I'm going to make it. It won't be very long, so it won't be a big book, but get a printed copy for those who love a good book in their hand, or those who want to read it digitally. I'm trying to find the balance in those two worlds, so I think I'm going to do both. And but it should be the Kindle version will be out, I'm going to say, 2 to 3 weeks max. And then the printed copy would probably be more like May.
Okay.
And it's called No Fat Girls Allowed, Living, Overcoming Shame and Living in Authenticity, and by Darla Harms. And you can go to my website at www.darlaharms.com, and there should be a link up that people could click on that, or if they want to find out more about me or what I do, that's where they can go.
Yeah, that's awesome. I'm excited. I can't wait to read the book, because, again, I know that this topic is something that most, if not all of us, have struggled with or will struggle with. And, you know, we all have to just step into who we are. You know, it reminds me of a quote Rachel Hollis says, the world needs you to stop apologizing for being who you are and become who you are meant to be. And it's not, you know, not from a sense of pride of I'm perfect, but saying, you know what, I'm not perfect, but I'm striving to be better and I'm okay with that. And not letting the world tell us otherwise.
Well, that's just it. Like, who decides? Like, who's going to make this decision for you? Mm-hmm. Is it going to be you, or is it going to be external forces that don't care about you?
And they don't.
By
they
all
don't
means,
care. They wouldn't.
No, they don't.
To
they don't with. Care. Your pharmaceutical, like, listen, I'm not against pharmaceutical companies or taking medication. I take meds for anxiety. But what I don't like is that meds don't take care of shame. They help us cope with it. I'm all for that. But you got to get it out in the open. You got to bring it to the light. There's no shame in sharing your shame.
Mm-hmm.
Like, we have got to get past that as women. And the only way is to be vulnerable, to open up, to say, you know what, something's not right, and I need help. Those two phrases for women are so hard. Because we don't want to admit we don't have it together, nor do we want to share that we don't have it all together. So
it's exactly right. It's exactly right. We feel the pressure to be Facebook or Instagram worthy, and you know, it's realizing that we're not, and neither is anybody else if we only can see the rest of them.
Absolutely right. That's so good.
Well, do you have a favorite quote or verse or final inspirational thought that you wanted to share with listeners?
That's a really good question.
I love to just not to put you on the spot. I just wondered if there was one something that really, you know, you mentioned a couple of really good verses and touched on that. And, you know, this is, we could talk all day on this subject. And I think you've just poured so much wisdom and some great book recommendations, which I haven't read either of these books. I'm going to have to add them to my reading list and your book. Excited to get that. But
I was thinking, I'm a big fan of, how her name slips me, The Hiding Place.
Oh, Corrie Ten Boom.
Corrie Ten Boom, yes.
Yes.
She has a quote that I absolutely love, and she says, there is no pit so deep that God's love is not deeper still.
That's awesome, isn't it? We can hold on to
and
that
I really
sometimes.
Feel like that just... Like the shame stuff, it's just been a big pit, but God just keeps kind of going deeper with me. His love is deeper than the pit. And it's just, it rings true for me, definitely.
Mm-hmm. So what's next after you get the book? I mean, that's coming out in just a couple weeks. What's your next big project?
Well, another book. I have enough material. Like, now that I got this one done, right, I finally did one. I'm done. I probably have three more that I could be done with this year. Easy.
Wow.
They're not, again, not long, but certainly got plenty of content, to, one will be called Following the Lead or Following Their Lead. It's how to be a good follower. And before you can lead, you've got to learn how to follow. And then another one will be on influence, just some influence. I love that definition of leadership. It's just a huge word. It's a mammoth word to me. There's so many principles that fit underneath that. So it'll be about a 10-chapter book on different components to influence. So that would, those two are next for me.
Wow, you're just on fire. I love it. Darla, thank you so much for joining me today. I know you've added tremendous value to everyone who's listening, and, you know, your story is just, it's inspiring, and it's very powerful because it's so personal and so real. So thank you so much for joining me today.
Thank you for having me, Rhea. I really appreciate it and love what you are doing with your life and how you're studying a great example for all of these women on being an overcomer and being positive and pursuing God's path for your life. So thank you. Keep going, girl.
Oh, absolutely. Well, take care, and I will talk to you soon. Thanks. Bye-bye.
All right. Sounds good. Bye-bye.
Start increasing your influence and maximizing your potential with Rhea's audiobooks. Available at audible.com, amazon.com, and iBooks. Please visit rheastory.com to learn about Rhea's books, resources, speaking, and training programs. Thanks for listening.